We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Are you ready for another glorious week here in Brevard County? Enjoying the place that God has picked for you. You know, it says that He chooses the times and the places where we are to live. And So I'm very thankful for the season that I have. I will be returning back to Brevard County on Tuesday. Right now, I'm still in Tulsa, celebrating with my family, and so I'm relaxing and enjoying the opportunity to be around my family. And you know, the thing when you're 1,200 miles away from them is you never know when the last time you're going to get to see them is. And so I get to eat my mom's cooking. She always lets me pick out the menu while we're away, and worshiping with some people at church yesterday that I only get to see periodically, and having a lot of fun as well. So I want to just say thank you for listening. And if you have not received one of our prayer mugs, by the way, if you contact us, we will send you one free of charge. It just says Merit Assembly of God on one side and Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs on the other side. And if you ask for one of those, we'd be happy to send one to you. You know, we're not going to be contacting you for fundraising or any of that sort of stuff. It would just be our gift for you. We celebrated our 63rd anniversary here not too long ago, about 2 weeks ago. But if you visit us at church, that mug's got a little bit of something inside of it. And I've not had anybody tell me yet that they were unhappy with what the mug comes filled with. So we would love to have you come out and visit with us. I do need to remind you that this coming Wednesday, we do not have services at Merit Assembly of God. We've got some things taking place on our property, and we just want to make sure that that no one gets inconvenienced or anything. And like, so our midweek services are taking a hiatus for this week, but they will be back next week. So our next service will be Sunday morning at 10:30. I'll be back in the pulpit and preaching the Word of God, and I will be refreshed. So thank you for coming out and being a part of that. Do pray for us. We really do appreciate your prayers, and pray that God uses all of us to build His kingdom. So let's go back to Acts chapter 11. It's where we were on Friday. We're going to spend a few days, not nearly as long as we did in Acts chapter 10. But in Acts chapter 11, verse number 15, Peter is responding to this accusation that has been made to him. By the way, I will tell you that whenever you are accusing the brethren, that you might want to look at the job description of that, because that falls in line with what the devil does more than it does what God does. God is the forgiver of the brethren. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. It was a long time ago, there was a very, very young into my pastoring of Merit Assembly of God, and there was a problem, a situation arose, and a person told my wife, they said, "Well, I'm actually here to oppose your husband," and I was the pastor, and so they were saying it, you know, my job here is to oppose the pastor, and you know, I and that person I thought was my friend. we have ironed out a lot of that stuff since then. Years gone by, they moved out of the area a long time ago. But, you know, God is looking for the spirit of unity in our churches. He's not looking for us opposing one another and being divided against one another. He doesn't want your home to be filled with strife and discord and division and contention, arguing and wrath. He wants your home filled with peace. And so, anyway, let's look back to Acts 11, verse number 15. It says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. And so let's go back here just a minute. We concluded Friday's broadcast talking about how God is a giver, and he gave the Gentiles the same gift that he had given to the Jewish people. And that gift is manifest when there is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's very important. We're going to talk a little bit more here about that in just a minute. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is going to be a transformation that takes place in us. We'll talk about that more in a minute. And Peter says, when God gave them a gift, who was I that I could withstand God? Who was I that I could withstand God? Now, when I read that scripture, my mind went back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, there had been a healing. And so let me begin reading at verse number 18. This is when Peter and John are standing before the Sanhedrin, before the rulers. And in verse number 18, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Okay? And so Peter is telling the Sanhedrin just a few chapters before, he said, look, if God is saving people, who am I to tell him that he has no right to save them? There are a lot of people who get very disturbed when you start talking about some of the people that God is able to save. Do you realize that Paul was a terrorist to the church, and yet Jesus loved him so much that he saved him on the road to Damascus? There are people right now who are hostile to Christianity, actually duplicating the same things that Paul has done. And you know the prayer that we pray for them at Merit Assembly of God? God, do for them what you did for Paul. Save them and set them free. You know, I believe that if we would, by the way, if you do not have children's ministry, I encourage you to do so, because you may be able to minister to children at a very early age and help them to form a biblical, godly relationship with Jesus that is going to manifest in a healthy and holy lifestyle that is going to continue through on their life. You may be very instrumental in helping to form somebody that, if you didn't reach them, could have been a problem for the church, and instead God wants to make them a blessing to the church. And so I am thankful that God saves murderers. I'm thankful that God saves prostitutes and drug addicts. I'm thankful that he saves people who have a sexual past that place it under the blood. I am so thankful that he saves people who are rich and people who are poor, people who are healthy and people who are infirmed. God wants to save people. And so Peter in Acts chapter 11 says, who was I that I could withstand God? In Acts chapter 4, he says, y'all have got to make a decision. Do you think it is right that we listen to you, or is it more important than we listen to God? Now, I'm just going to pause for this brief commercial announcement. There are people right now who are trying to convince the church that it is more important for us to listen to men than it is to listen to God. God's word is the same yesterday. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said that his word is settled forever in heaven and on earth. His word isn't changing. One of the measures that is used to determine whether as a prophet is of God or not is whether that word lines up with the written word. I don't try and make the written word line up with somebody else's prophetic statement. If their prophetic statement doesn't agree with the word of God, it is wrong. And if behavior doesn't line up with the word of God, then the behavior is wrong. God's not changing his behavior. He's not lowering the standards. Holiness is still essential. Holiness, without holiness, no one is going to be able to see God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. There are people who have a mental position that has convinced themselves that they are right with God when their life is out of alignment with the word of God. There's a disconnect there. Okay. I don't know if you have ever been working around the house, maybe with a vacuum cleaner or with a power tool, whatever it might be. But whenever that power tool gets disconnected from the power source, it quits working. And the same thing happens with you and I. We can have all of the information. We can have everything put in place. But if we are disconnected from God, apart from him, we can do nothing. We are powerless. We are just a big, fancy paperweight. That is all we are. And so we have got to get back to the same mindset that the early church had, and that was this. We are not in the business of opposing what God is doing. We are in the business of embracing what God is doing. And that means that every person has got to receive the gift of forgiveness. Okay? Every person has got to be willing to let go of their sins. Listen to what back in Acts chapter 11, I could go on and read all the way through verse 31 in Acts chapter 4, but I want to get to verse 18. And it says, when they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Repentance to life. And so here's what happened. When Peter explained what God had done, how he had saved Cornelius and his household, how he had poured out his Holy Spirit, how they had spoken with tongues, they had received the same gift that the people there making a decision had received on the day of Pentecost. And he said, if God, who gave us our gift, has given them the exact same gift, I'm not going to withstand God. You know what it did to the critics? You know what it did to those who were accusing him of violating the law? It caused them to be silent. It caused them to be at a loss for words. Now, sometimes that happens to me simply because I go searching for the right word. But I'm telling you that there is no retort to the truth. There is no response when you have spoken eternal spiritual truth that there's going to be an argument against. You know, you could tell people that the sun comes up in the east all day long, and there may be some people that don't want to do that. Listen, if you present to someone an indisputable fact, if you share with them absolute truth, and they want to argue with you, I just take you back to a sign I saw in a in a steakhouse restroom one time, and that says, text says, never argue with a fool. People might not be able to tell which one is which. And so if they just cannot admit that they were wrong, then there's no sense in continuing that discussion anymore. I think back to an old Happy Days episode where Fonzie was wrong about something, and he was like, he just could not bring himself to admit that he was wrong. There are some people in this society who refuse to admit that they were wrong. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've apologized for being wrong a tremendous amount of time. I don't like being wrong. It doesn't make me happy. I like to win when I compete. I like to be right in my point of view, but I'm not arrogant enough to think that I am perfect in my knowledge. And I've done this radio broadcast enough to have plenty of evidence that I'm not always saying exactly the right word that I'm trying to say. So I want to encourage you. Arrogance demands that I be right all the time. Humility opens the door and saying, you know what? I've been wrong. And so if somebody wants to argue about something that is, first of all, it's not imperative, you know, then I'm not going to argue with them. I understand theology. I've studied theology. I know theology. If you want to get into a debate about me with theology, you know, we can talk about it a little bit, but I'm not going to waste my time a whole lot debating, splitting hairs over minutiae about things, because I want to impact people's lives. I want to help them to grow. There are apologists, Ravi Zacharias, a friend of mine's daughter, actually works with that ministry. Tremendous smart people. I'm so thankful that God has blessed the body of Christ with people who can articulate and defend and debate the truth of God's word with people in academia and all. But I'm called to pastor people in Merritt Island. I'm called to pastor them here in Central Brevard County and help hurting people. Do I want to do that from a perspective of theological truth? Absolutely. I do. I strive for to be right. I don't want to be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll admit it. No skin off my nose. So I just want to encourage you. Don't argue with people. If they cannot handle the truth, then don't argue with them. But at this council, when people heard what God had done and that he had done for others the same thing that they did for them, the first thing that they did was they stopped talking. They stopped talking. Now, on radio, you stop talking and you get this large gap of silence. That makes people feel really uncomfortable. If you want to know why I don't have a lot of my sermons that I've preached at our church on the air, it is because I do a lot of interactive preaching. Several of my messages recently have had object lessons to them. Those don't translate well into radio. And so there would have to be editing out all of these uncomfortable silences and things like that, and amens where I'm asking people to respond, because I believe that church should be an interactive experience. You should prepare yourself for church, and you should prepare to go and be engaged in the church service. At my church, when people start saying amen to the truth that God is bringing forth from the pulpit, for me, that is like saying, sick them to a bulldog. I mean, that is like, hallelujah, there is truth that is being communicated. It is not just going forth from my mouth, but it is being received and imparted into people's lives, where it is going to produce an action plan that is going to make a difference. And so when I read the Old Testament, I see that the priest would say something and the people would respond, that God would make a promise and that you and I were supposed to respond by saying yes and amen. And the amen means so be it. So the first thing that happened were these people who were making the accusations, they became silent, and then a greater truth manifest itself. The greater truth was this: they realized that the Gentiles had received repentance to life. That, listen to what it says, and another form of the word give here, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Listen, we rejoice when there is a healing at our church the way there was recently. We rejoice whenever somebody receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But our greatest rejoicing is when someone gives their heart to Jesus, because that's when their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There can be people healed who never get saved. There can be people who can be used in the gifts of the Spirit. And Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't want to be that person that has no relationship with God. Listen, you say, how do you reconcile that? God loves people. And if there's somebody who needs a healing in their body or a miracle to take place in their life, if he could use a donkey, he can use somebody else. And so just because God uses you to accomplish something doesn't mean that it's a merit badge for you. It is actually a demonstration of how much God desperately wanted to move in that other person's life. So it is the repentance to newness of life that is absolutely essential. I say this is one of my things, that the preeminent blessing in a person's life is repentance. It's the first indication. If you're blessed financially but you don't have repentance in your life, then I don't consider you blessed. I consider you well off financially. If you're healthy but you're not saved, I consider you blessed or having good genes in your life. Thank God for that. His mercy, he's allowed you to live longer, but that long life is so that you would embrace the repentance and forgiveness that God wants to give you. So there was that repentance to life, and they began to glorify God. Listen, angels celebrate whenever there is a soul that is saved. Heaven celebrates. You and I are called to celebrate. And so I pray that there are parties and there are celebrations that take place, that there is rejoicing and thanking God, because God is still in the salvation business. You want to know why we're involved in missions to the extent that we are? Is because missions is the redemption business. God is in the redemption business. We want to be in his business. We're not asking God to come and partner with us in our endeavors. We are asking him for the privilege of partnering with him in his endeavors. Let me take you down just a little bit in chapter 11, because there's something that is very important, and I want to close out the broadcast today with that. Let's read on verse number 19. You'd look at this and say there's a disconnect there, but all of a sudden people began to take the gospel out. Verse 19, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them with all that with he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So what happened here at the first part of chapter 11 was the recounting, and all of a sudden people said, God's going to touch people who aren't even Jewish. And so there were people who, when they came to Antioch, they started preaching to people who may not have had the same background, the same genealogical background that they had. And it says that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Repentance is not a mental position. Belief is not just a mental position. They are action words. Belief causes you to act differently. Turning to the Lord means that you are turning away from something so that you can run to Him. And so there is this tremendous amount of growth that is taking place. When you and I allow God to enlarge our vision, there is going to be kingdom growth that takes place. There's going to be maturity on our parts, and there is going to be growth in the kingdom. You know what the church needs? It needs more people getting saved. You know who lead more people to Jesus than any other segment in Christianity? New believers. New believers. They have all of these unsaved connections, and they want everybody to experience the same joy. You know the number one problem that new believers have? Old believers squashing and trying to put them in an old box. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. I'm about to run out of time before I share this truth. And so all of a sudden, news reaches Jerusalem that there's a revival taking place in Antioch, and so they send this guy by the name of Barnabas. And it says, when he came and had seen the grace of God. And that's where I want to stop. When he came and had seen the grace of God, the NIV says the evidence of the grace of God. There was evidence. There is a tremendous emphasis being put on grace in modern preaching. And I'm thankful for that. It's by the grace of God that we are saved, God giving us things that we do not deserve. But I'm here to tell you this, grace produces evidence. It produces a transformed life. There is going to be a visible, different dynamic in operation in your life when you have received genuine grace. If somebody told you received grace, but it didn't bring about a transformation, it was a counterfeit. Grace produces evidence. Evidence that other people will recognize. You want to shock your pastor? Schedule an appointment with him and say, Pastor, I'm here. I just want to ask you, is there anything that you see in my life that I could improve on my walk with the Lord? Listen, I believe that God can share that with you, but sometimes you might want to ask, do you see evidence of the grace of God in my life? I want there to be evidence of the grace of God. I'm very thankful for my kids, but I wanted to make sure that I was the same person at home as I was at church, as I was at work. Father, I pray today that as we go throughout this community on this Monday, God, that everybody will be able to see the evidence of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ living in our lives. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And And I so long to sing you the song you deserve.